Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Spotlight. I am Sonu Sood, and today we will be discussing the following topic, strengthening India's energy security among a global crisis. To discuss this very important topic, we have with us energy expert Narendra Taneja. A warm welcome to you, Mr. Taneja, on Akashvani.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Taneja, we know that the whole world is going through a very difficult situation due to the West Asia crisis. Specifically, if we talk about India, what do you feel, how big is the challenge for India's energy security due to the situation in Strait of Hormuz and the way the energy transportation has been affected? If you could just give us a brief overview of the current situation.
Right now, if you look around the world, we are going through probably the biggest ever energy shock in the history of humankind. We've never ever seen this kind of shock or this kind of disruption in the space of energy the world over, never before. Even the 1970s energy shock, which everybody talks about, was nothing compared to what we are going through now. Since we are India, we are the third largest importer of oil in the world, and we are also a large importer of natural gas in the world. Therefore, when the world talks about the biggest ever energy shock, it's very easy to really understand that, you know, what it means for India and India's economy. Let me give you an example. We import roughly 88 to 89% of our total requirement of oil from 42 different countries, including far away, like in Latin America, the United States, you name it, and we import from there. And the same goes more or less for the natural gas. We import that in the form or in the shape of LNG from different geographies. So for us, on the one hand, challenge is managing price, so that, you know, our economy is insulated, our ordinary consumer is insulated, particularly those below energy poverty line, that they are insulated, they are shielded, they are taken care of. At the same time, making sure that energy is available. Availability is also a huge challenge, since you mentioned about the Strait of Hormuz. We import bulk of our oil and LNG and LPG from that area, and that's a choke point, which has become a major choke point now, in the sense that is more or less closed. So 20% of world energy, actually oil and gas, passes through that area, which means roughly 20 million barrels of oil alone. So this is a massive disruption. The result is that the oil prices have gone up, the gas prices have gone up, fertilizer prices have gone up. So in such a situation, on the one hand, India and the government has to manage availability, making sure that our economy has continuity of access to oil and gas. Right. And at the same time, making sure that, you know, it's available at affordable prices to the ordinary Indian consumer, especially the domestic. So it's a huge challenge. And I mean, we are a developing country. We are an emerging country. We are not a developed country like Japan or the United States. So therefore, our challenges are bigger than any other economy. However, that said, at the same time, given the fact that, you know, we enjoy a good place on the global geopolitical high table, and that we enjoy good relation with majority of oil producing, gas producing, or gas exporting, oil exporting countries, therefore, it has, those relationships have come, you know, very handy, and we have been able to handle the situation so far reasonably well. That does mean that there are no big challenges, especially in terms of LPG, or I mean the cooking gas. Cooking gas or LPG has been a major challenge. But if you look at on that front also, I think India has handled cooking gas scenario much better than any other country in our part of the world.
So, Mr. Taneja, you've spoken about how the government has handled this situation very, very deftly. I mean, their response has been so proactive. In fact, we have seen that there are interministerial briefing coming frequently so that everybody gets the latest update on the situation. At the inauguration of Vibrant Gujarat Regional Conference 2026, Union Petroleum Minister Hardeep Singh Puri, he said that the government has diversified crude sources from 27 to 41 countries, has increased domestic LPG production by 60%, and prioritized household energy needs over industries. Let's listen into what he said.
During this energy crisis in India, it happened because the government absorbed the shock at the fiscal system level rather than passing it immediately on to the consumer's wallet. And because preparations made over the last 10 years, the decade, came into play exactly when they were needed. What did we do? We diversified our sources. Crude sourcing has now expanded from 27 countries to 41. We started procuring LPG, that is cylinder gas, from US and Norway, Algeria, apart from the Middle East. India has moved with great speed. Orders were issued to maximize LPG yield at refineries, and we increased our domestic production by 60% from 36,000 metric tons per day to 54,000 metric tons per day out of a total daily consumption of 90,000, which also we brought down because we are shifting from LPG to LNG, that is pipe gas, and also because we are incentivizing the movement to natural gas. Operation Urja Suraksha was a coordinated response across companies, ministries, state governments and international suppliers.
Okay, Mr. Taneja, this diversification on various fronts, first of all, the sources from which we get energy, they have been over 11 years from 27 to 41 countries, the basket that we are getting our energy from. And also giving like importance to every source of energy, be it renewable, be it fossil fuels. You feel that is the need of the hour wherever, given our vast needs. We are a very fast growing economy with a huge population. So how do you see this situation? You feel that diversification on all fronts is the answer?
Well, you see, there are two elements to what you in your question. Number one is the energy security doctrine. I mean, the government over the past 10, 11 years has come up with a new energy security doctrine in the sense that making sure that we are not dependent for our energy needs or imports on any one particular region or geography. So as part of the doctrine, we have diversified sourcing oil and gas from multiple geographies. If you look around the world today, there is hardly any major oil or gas exporting country that we are not sourcing oil or gas from, including Guyana. Guyana is a kind of the new country which has come on the map in terms of, you know, producing and exporting oil, or the United States for that matter, or Canada for that matter, Norway. Recently, we've started LPG and other things more from Norway, which is a faraway country otherwise. So I think the overall doctrine has been that to diversify so that if there is any kind of major political disruption or geopolitical disruption or economic disruption or supply disruption, we can actually just switch and, you know, start sourcing more from the other geography that we are already familiar with. So I think that strategy to diversify has played a crucial role in helping and dealing with the situation that has emerged since the beginning of the Persian Gulf War between the United States, Israel, and Iran. And number two, which you talked about the renewable. Renewable is also part of the same approach. What does renewable basically, the focus is so that we can reduce our dependence on imports on the one hand, and at the same time, you know, since we do face the challenge in terms of pollution in our big cities, especially in winter. So the strategy is to actually switch over to electricity to the extent possible, or to use other sources of energy which are less polluting or not polluting. So therefore, if you look at the renewable energy sector, and within renewable, particularly when you look at solar, I think, you know, we have done better than any other country that I can think of. Probably China has done also very well. Otherwise, I think, you know, we have done extremely well. And what we are witnessing in India today, which is being noticed by the whole world, is kind of solar energy power revolution, and promises that we made to the world community in terms of focusing on solar and boosting solar power production, and the target that we shared with the world, we've actually already achieved it. And now we have kind of come up with a new target. So not only this thing that we are doing it for our economy, for our consumers, we are actually also leading the world in terms of international solar alliance and sharing our experience, our expertise and our management expertise with the fellow countries of the global south. So I think it's a fascinating strategy that the country is following. Multiple state governments are also following. Basically, on the one hand, making sure that we have mobilized more oil, gas, and coal, because that remains the backbone of our economy, for that matter, the world economy. Yes. But at the same time, we go for the transition from fossil fuel to new sources of energy. Right. We are working on both with the same passion, with the same commitment, and at the same pace. So the result today is, when you look at the electricity park generation in India, we are among the top three countries in the world. And at the same time, the share of renewable energy is the maximum if you compare India with any other country. Yes. But when you look at India, compare India with the United States or Western Europe and all that, we have done much, much better than those developed countries.
Mr. Taneja, at the beginning of the discussion, you said that this is a very, very huge, huge challenge for the entire global energy ecosystem. And Union Minister, Mr. Hardeep Singh Puri, he said that fuel prices remain stable in India despite the global crisis. And he highlighted that while powerful nations like US and Canada have witnessed a 35% to 50% increase in petrol and diesel prices, India has recorded a 0% increase. You think that this management by the government, you know, to maintain stability, this has been a very, very important highlight of this period of crisis?
Well, as I said earlier, that is the biggest ever energy crisis, you know, faced by the humankind. And even developed countries like the United States. So the United States is the biggest producer of oil in the world. And they are also the biggest consumer of oil in the world. Mm. And they are quite energy independent. Despite all this, the energy prices have there gone up. Mm. And Canada is also a major exporter of energy. There again, the energy prices have gone up. Even in China, energy prices have gone up. In our neighboring Pakistan, the energy prices have gone through the roof. And the people are crying in pain in Pakistan. Right. However, when you look at the reality in India, because the government has been very quick in coming out with a response, and at the same time, I think the government, in particular the Prime Minister himself, we have seen his statement and his directive to the ministry and to the company have been very clear that, you know, shield the poor, shield the ordinary consumer, shield the domestic consumer. I think this concern for the domestic consumer, this concern for the vulnerable sections of the society, I think that has played a very, very important role. At the same time, making sure that energy is available. So if you look at the magnitude of the challenge globally and also for India, and if you look at the kind of response that India has and made sure that energy is available to the Indian economy, to the consumer, I think it's remarkable. Within very short period of about 2 to 3 weeks, yes, LPG is also stabilized and people have access to LPG, and wherever there are some pockets where there's still some challenges, and those are being addressed literally on 24/7. So overall, if you look at the picture today, I think this fact is that we are going through the unprecedented energy challenge. However, the way the government has managed, the way companies have managed, the way state government have managed, I think we have done a remarkable job.
Absolutely. And another point, you know, which the government has regularly been stressing on is they have been urging people to adopt a PNG, the pipe natural gas, instead of LPG, wherever it is possible, wherever the infrastructure is there. How important is this and what is the rationale behind it?
Well, the rationale is very simple. You see, rationale and the concern, very simple. The government wants to make sure that every household has access to cooking gas. Cooking gas has been government of India's top priority. Mm. So the result is that, you know, because we have built this PNG infrastructure, and there are many households in India where PNG is available, but people just have been a bit lazy, then switching over to PNG, they've still been using LPG. So the government is trying to prioritizing it, asking them to, you know, switch to PNG ASAP. And in fact, if you look at the number of people who have already surrendered their LPG cylinder and switched to PNG because the PNG infrastructure is available to them. So the idea is basically, you know, when you switch to PNG, that is piped natural gas, that cylinder is available for other people in other parts of the country.
And the goal has been outlined to make India completely self-reliant in the energy sector by 2047. Nevertheless, strategic petroleum reserves of India, they are of prime importance in the current situation. Can you tell us about the significance of strategic petroleum reserves and what is the way forward?
First of all, what is the strategic petroleum reserves? The whole idea, since we are heavily dependent on imports, so in the event of a geopolitical disruption or a war or a natural calamity, that we continue to have kind of access to petroleum products for our economy. Right. So the idea is basically to build petroleum reserves so that if there is disruption in supply for a certain number of days, let's say for a month or two, that we have sufficient petrol available to use it for multiple purposes. So we are building, we have started focusing on that. So we are in the process of building even more capacity in terms of petroleum reserves. But now there is also a thought that we should also build separately reserves for LPG and natural gas, and our reserves are mostly oil so far. Mm-hmm. So strategic petroleum reserves, the strategy is to go for 90 days of reserves. If you look at total reserves so far in terms of the reserves under the ground and over the ground in terms of tank farms, we have roughly the reserves for about 50 days. But now the government is working on this thought that we should expand it to 90 days as soon as possible. And actually the work has already started on that. That one thing where, for instance, since we had the reserves and we have been investing in that, we have been able to handle the situation far better.
Thank you so much, Mr. Taneja, for this comprehensive discussion on Indian government's proactive crisis management and strengthening India's energy security amid a global crisis.
Thank you, Sonu.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. With this, we end Spotlight.